Back together again, you and I, chatting it up fast and heavy, kicking off a new week, Monday, November 4th, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where I opened, reminding folks that what goes on in Hartford in the General Assembly has a whole heck of a lot more of an effect on their daily lives than what happens in Washington. Connecticut News Junkie columnist and Substack.com blogger Terry Cowgill dropped by with his Election Day thoughts, while retired U.S. Army Colonel John Mills, the author of War Against the Deep State, dropped by to talk about the growing threats from China and Russia for whomever's elected on Election Day.
Is it over yet? Dear God, please just get it done with. Oh, my God, enough. Come on. Come on, be honest with your Uncle Paulie here. You know that's what you're saying, even if you think your side is going to win. Even if you're feeling good, come on, tell Daddy what you're really thinking here. Listen, even if you soak up this stuff like I do on a pretty regular basis, right? Even if you think this is great stuff, you love watching it, this, that, and the other, my God, enough of this. And I'm going to start today with a little bit of a message that I always start with when it comes to the big elections. And by the big elections, most of us, if we hear that, we think of two things. In this year, in this election cycle, 2024, we're obviously thinking of, what, the presidential race, right? And listen, I should be one to talk. I talk about this stuff, you know, almost every waking minute on the show here now, and we have for the past 6 months, because it's out there. We like to reflect what people are talking about, and that's what we do. And then in the off 2 year cycle, we talk about the governor's race. We did that in 2018. We did that in 2022. And I can guarantee you, because we're already starting to see it come this coming Wednesday, November 6th, day after the election. Hey, is Ned Lamont going to run for re-election? Is Susan Bicewicz going to swoop in? Is William Tong going to pick at the corpse here? But I digress. We have at least 2 months for that. But something I always say, and I wanted to open the show with this today and get your feelings on it, at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, I hope you realize and you know that depending upon what happens on, November 5th, tomorrow, Election Day, maybe the day after, I hope you realize that most of our lives here in Connecticut, right? Now, it could be different in different parts of the country, and you would have an argument with me there as well. You do realize that not a hell of a lot's going to change, right? I hope do you understand that? Do you understand that not a whole heck of a lot is going to change here? Because, yeah, either Mr. Trump or Ms. Harris, the current VP or the former president, they will get elected. I'm pretty sure Jill Stein and Chase Oliver and RFK Jr., he's still on the ballot in some of these states, and Cornel West and the probably couple of hundred other minor presidential candidates out there, 99% of whom you've never heard from or about. I'm pretty sure they're not going to get elected. So it'll be either Mr. Trump for another 4-year term or Ms. Harris from the Veep slot for her first 4-year term, maybe of two. You never know. You never know how these things work out. But what I'm pretty sure of, not a whole heck of a lot's going to change here, honestly, for folks like you and me. The races you really should be paying attention to, and the races I hope that you actually did a little research on, and it's not that hard if you have a computer. It used to be a little bit of a pain if you weren't in Hartford and at the State House and State Capitol and all that, but if you have a computer or a smartphone, it's not hard to do research on and get a feeling of the races that we'll all be voting on tomorrow, or many of us have already voted on if we went to early voting. We, in a collective, I did not. I'm going to vote tomorrow morning. But having said that, It's the 151 men and women in the state House and the 36 men and women in the state Senate that, trust me, on a day-to-day basis, have far, far, far more of an almost immediate effect on your lives than whomever is sitting in the Oval Office. Now, it's a lot more fun. I get it. I understand it. It's a lot more fun to battle and yell and scream and call dopey talk show hosts about the presidential race. I get that. But let me ask you this as we go to break, and you give me a call and let me know if you've researched this, and I will give you my admiration. I don't have a key to the prize closet, so there's nothing I can really give away, but I'll give you my admiration. Have you studied or taken into account or even know of your state representative in the state house? Which of the 151 men or women represents you, either under the largely Democratic or largely, you know, Republican moniker there? Or do you know which of the 36 men and women and or women who represent you in the state Senate? Have you looked at that? Now, I'm pretty sure many of you that listen to this radio station have and listen to this program and all the other great programs we have on WICC. I'm sure you've done that. But do you understand what I'm saying here? In great, you know, in any sort of a great spectrum here, shall we say, your lives are not going to be, unless you're living on the border. And I don't think anybody of us here is living on the border. And I don't think we have a crushing number of illegals here. We have about 120,000 in the state, from what they're willing to admit. But have you paid attention to the races that really, on a day-to-day basis, with laws on criminality in this state, laws on bail, laws on bonds, laws on state taxes, laws on the absence of or the addition of more zoning regulations? Have you studied that? It's easy to say, hey, I'm for Trump or I'm for Kamala Harris. But have you really taken the time to study and even know what's going on in your state house and state senate district? Because I got to tell you something. There's some stuff coming up in a few months after the first of the year and after whomever is inaugurated, the next occupant of the White House, be it Mr. Trump or Ms. Harris, that I'm telling you, they are going to have far more of a pseudo-immediate impact on your lives than whomever's going to be in the White House will. For us here in the state, dealing with what we deal with on a day-to-day basis, whether it's money going into or coming out of your pocket, whether it's business owners who are nickeled and dimed to death in this state, or whether it's a lot of you folks out there paying exorbitant utilities fees. Everybody needs to relax. Some of the stuff I'm seeing and hearing over the next, over the last rather few days, oh my God, over the weekend. Jeez, from both candidates too. I can't wait not to hear a soundbite from an election appearance after this past weekend. Oh God, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. But the elections that you should have really of utmost importance, along with the presidential race, I get it. I understand it. Again, it's like Yankees, Red Sox. I understand that it's like Knicks, Celtics. You know, it's like, Cowboys, Giants or Cowboys, Commanders. Now, I get it. It's easy to root for the uniform. It's something you've been doing for the past 40, 50, 60 years. I get it. I understand it. But I would hope that you've done a little bit of research, or even if you didn't do any research, that you come into, now I would say tomorrow, but you may have voted. So let's say tomorrow or your previous actions, voting early in this here election cycle, you know, I would hope that you're coming into it knowing a little bit about the men and the women. Again, there are 151 state representatives or state house members, just the way we have a state house in Washington, and we have, you know, 36 members in the state Senate, which is a lot, depending upon how other states do it. So basically, you have 36 men and women in the state Senate representing about 100,000 people in a state Senate district. A state House district is something on the order of 22, 23, 24,000, something like that. But the real impactful elections, at least as we are here in Connecticut, because nothing federally is going to change a heck of a lot here in the state. I was thinking about this over the weekend. Yes, I understand the presidency's a bully pulpit and the members of Congress. What are the odds, honestly, that we're going to be able to change anybody, any House member, or what are the odds that Chris Murphy is going to lose? Now, Matt Corey put up a valiant fight. I get it. I understand it. He'll get a chunk of support. You really think he's going to beat Chris Murphy? Now, he might. And that would be an oh, wow moment, wouldn't it? What are the odds, though? Come on. And in five of the six congressional districts, in four of the five congressional districts, I mean, you know, Jim Himes, Rosa DeLauro, John Larson, Joe Courtney, you really think they have a chance to get beat? I guess they could. You know, the only district that might be interesting is the fifth. George Logan and Johanna Hayes, that was a bit under a point last time. We'll see how that shakes out again. But again, just to open here, I wanted to implore you, if you haven't voted yet, and you've got some time, go to your PC, go to your laptop, go to your handheld device, your digital device, your smartphone, and just put in the name of, or whatever district you live in, find who your state rep is. Frankly, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, or your state Senate member, and find out if he or she has a challenger this year. One sad thing is, and we talk about this on the show all the time, is how many of these state House members and state Senate members run unopposed. It's far too many, which to me is a bigger threat than somebody supposedly that's going to be another Adolf Hitler or somebody who supposedly is a Marxist and a communist. Because that person you may vote for or against for your state House member or state Senate member, that person may be the person, in fact, not maybe, will be the person casting votes on things like how much your electric bill is going to cost, whether or not you're going to be forced into buying, you know, an electric vehicle, whether or not the federal government comes in and bigfoots your right as a law-abiding gun owner. Whether or not members of the General Assembly actually get it when it comes to crime and stop coddling people and stop taking away authority that police officers need. They say it on this show, on this station, and all across the state. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Be aware of the people who run this state. I know it's easy, it's chic, it's fun. We talk about it here all the time, about 100 people in the U.S. Senate, the 435 people in the U.S. House, the cabinet secretaries, and whomever is occupying the Oval Office. And we'll talk about that tomorrow, and we'll talk about it for days on and on and on, as they used to say in church, world without end, amen. But do me a favor, do yourselves a favor, if you haven't done this already. I sense some of you have, and I sense some of you may not, because you kind of throw your arms up in the air, and, you know, I see all this stuff online and hear it said from people about how bad the state is and how corrupt it is. Well, here's the bottom line. If you think it's bad, if you think it's corrupt, if you think it's too expensive to live in, if you think there's too much red tape, if you think there's, you know, too many fees here and there, well, tomorrow, in fact, every 2 years,
every other year. On the even years, you get a chance to correct that. You know, you can bitch and moan and scream at all the people that are sent to Hartford. It's not like they're there for lifetime terms. 2 years ain't a whole heck of a lot of long time, especially in the politics world. So you can do something about that tomorrow. Don't brush that off. Don't go in there with every intention and get all revved up to vote for Donald Trump or get all revved up to vote for Kamala Harris. That's fine. And then maybe you vote yes or no on the question about no excuse absentee ballots, which I remind you is essentially mail-in voting. And don't, you know, scan your eyes down the ballot card and say, oh, yeah, they want me to do something here about the state house and the state senate. Oh, yeah, what's her name? I'm in whose district? Oh, yeah, don't have it be that you vote for somebody just because you recognize the name. That ain't a way to vote. Do a little research. You know what? You'll be better off. And I'll be better off as well. CTNewsJunkie.com columnist and Substack.com blogger. He writes the blog Red Meat for Mushy Moderates. Terry Cowgill, deep in the heart of Texas. Mr. Cowgill, good afternoon, sir. Great to talk with you. Are you still researching all the various commissioners you have to vote for in the Lone Star State?
Well, I am. You know, I mean, I certainly looked at the railroad commissioner, and I think I talked about last week.
Yeah.
The railroad commissioner doesn't actually run the railroads. It's they run the oil and gas industry. And the
thing
I just learned between this week and last week is that the commissioner who's running for election, she's an incumbent, and she owns oil and gas interests, and she's allowed to vote on matters that relate directly to the interest that she holds.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Texas law permits it.
Yeah, and?
Quite a place.
And? Is there a problem with that?
Well, you know, some people value ethics, and some people just think they're an inconvenience, I guess.
But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, Terry, the title of your column, it's funny that you sent this to me today. Not funny, but coincidence, even though I don't believe in coincidence. The title of your column is, How on Earth is This Election Even Close? And I just read two national columns that pretty much said the same thing you did. Obviously, somebody's reading you. And I said even myself, Terry, early today, that if this was, it's just my opinion, but if the GOP ticket was in some way, shape, or form Ron DeSantis or Marco Rubio or Nikki Haley, my personal favorite, this shouldn't be close. In fact, it wouldn't be close, Terry, but here we are.
No, it wouldn't be close. I mean, you know, you might lose some of the diehard Trump people who really wanted him and only him.
Yeah.
But you would attract so many other sort of moderate voters who, you know, would be like Nikki Haley. I think Nikki Haley's probably a much better politician than Ron DeSantis. I think she would make a more palatable candidate for a lot of people, too. But no, they decided to go with Trump one more time. And I can't make a prediction, as I said in the column. I don't think anybody can. But, you know, just as I was putting this together and Iowa poll, the new Iowa poll, the Seltzer poll came out showing Harris leading by 3 or 4 percentage points, which was extremely unlikely. I thought Iowa's Trump territory.
Yeah.
And Seltzer is very well respected. I mean, she's not some hack, you know, who does junk polls. So I thought to myself, if that's accurate, even close to accurate, what could happen to some of these other swing states? Maybe the vote for Harris is being undercounted there in terms of the polls. I have no idea, but I was very surprised by that poll.
Terry, do you think, and you've been in the media probably around that as long as I have, we're about the same age. It looks like, well, no, it doesn't look like. We know now something that I didn't think was possible, Terry, that the vice president is going to go the entire campaign without a formal, as you and I cover it a lot, formal news conference, ask away, you there, now you, now we'll go in the back. And I had a CBS reporter on this team embedded on this show, embedded with her team. And they said, yeah, we've asked about that. They think they can win is what they told the CBS people. And they just think it's a generational thing. They said, they told me, Terry, that the CBS person was told, we're not worried about people who pay attention to news conferences. Might this be a watershed moment with that? What do you think?
Yeah, in terms of the media, I think this election itself is a watershed moment because conventional, traditional, legacy media are becoming increasingly irrelevant. They're not irrelevant or irrelevant yet, but clearly you don't need to sit down on 60 Minutes and give an interview. Kamala Harris did. But, you know, this whole idea that you have to have a conventional approach in terms of dealing with the media. Mm-hmm. And as you said, maybe stand up and do a news conference and subject yourself to all this stuff. I think that's pretty much out the window now in the era of social media. And, of course, not just television and radio interviews that you can do. You can go on all of these podcasts.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them. And people like Joe Rogan have a huge audience. And she has, Harris has gone on some of those, not Rogan, but she's been on others. And it's a much different media landscape, and I think the change is permanent.
Terry Cowgill, the guest. Terry, down there in Texas now where you've relocated, is because they always say this, well, Ted Cruz is really in trouble this time. Is he really, or is Colin Aldred there, the former NFL player, is he chief football in Texas? What a shock. Is he going to fall short or what?
The polling is very close. The most recent polling I've seen has Aldred within a point or two.
Wow.
And again, you know, you never really know. I personally think he's a much better candidate than Beto O'Rourke, whom Cruz faced 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's really well known in Texas. Goes all the way back, and you know, Beto O'Rourke. I don't believe he's originally from Texas, but Colin Aldred grew up in Texas. He went to, I believe, Baylor, and was a great football player there, and of course played in the NFL for 5 or 6 seasons before he switched careers. And he looks like he's straight out of Central Casting.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big, tall, handsome-looking guy, very articulate. I don't know. I think this is really a toss-up. I would not be surprised if he won, because there's a lot of residual dislike for Ted Cruz. And, you know, they call him Cancun Ted now. And you can imagine what that's for, right?
Hey, Terry, when it comes right down to it, though, tell me if you've thought of this. No matter who wins tomorrow, no matter whether the Trump people are crying or the Harris people are crying and it's the end of the world, no, it's not, it's Nirvana again, I don't see much changing, Terry, unless it's a sweep by one party, and then what that one party, which I think would be awful on either side, and they know it, that one party chooses to get rid of the Senate filibuster, because then I think all hell breaks loose. But Terry, do you see much of anything happening or not?
You mean if one party runs the table?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, because yeah. If they don't, if the Senate is still there with the filibuster rule, I mean, what's really going to change?
Probably not a whole lot, because, as you said, anything really controversial is going to require 60 votes in the Senate. I think one thing that will definitely change is that if there are some Supreme Court nominations, then you will see very yeah. different justices nominated by Kamala Harris than you did Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one, I suspect, will be Sonia Sotomayor, because she is in poor health, and reportedly she travels with a medic her. She has some severe form of diabetes, which is causing complications.
Yeah, she's a type 1 diabetic. Yeah, she travels with a medic. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so... but that would be essentially replacing a liberal justice with another liberal justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't really change the composition of the court ideologically. So I think if one of the other, Clarence Thomas is, I think he's 70, fixed, 75, something like that.
Yeah.
I would love to see, personally, I would love to see a mandatory retirement age, if not term limits on Supreme Court justices, at least a mandatory retirement age, because it's ridiculous seeing some of these people sit there for and go into their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, every now and then you need to just change gears and blow out the carbons and bring in some new blood.
Terry, finally, what are your choices of beverage and snack tomorrow night for the big returns? Do you have a preference?
Well, I'm in Texas, so bourbon is very popular here, as is anything made of tequila.
All right.
So I will go down to the 54th Street Brew House.
Nice.
And I will bring my iPad, and I'm going to try to file something from there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to various Texans and try to get a flavor of what's going on. Right now, it is 91 degrees. So I'm not exactly sure. I hope it cools off by tomorrow morning when I have to stand out in the sun and wait to vote.
Terry, good luck tomorrow. Write carefully, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Paul.
All right. All right. Whomever wins the election tomorrow, either Mr. Trump, who's already done this once, or the VP, Ms. Harris, who may have had some experience in this alongside President Biden. Both of our either completely new or reelected chief executives, both will have to deal undoubtedly with Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party and Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Our next guest is a former director of cybersecurity policy, strategy, and international affairs in the office of the Secretary of Defense of the Pentagon. He's had a big impact on a number of significant national security events over the past four decades, two generations, the Cold War, the peace dividend, the war on terror, and a world in chaos. We've had him on before to talk about his recent book, The War Against the Deep State. Welcoming back retired Army Colonel, retired John Mills. Colonel Mills, it's Paul again. How are you, sir?
Hey, Paul, thank you. An honor to be on your show again.
Well, thank you so much. So let's go, Colonel, into this notion here that some of the stuff orbiting above us in low Earth orbit from China and Russia might be a lot more nastier than the Pentagon is letting on. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm just going by a recent statement by the commander of Space Command. And also earlier comments this year from several members of Congress that I think the clear implication is the Chinese and the Russians have put nukes in orbit. There has just been this constant breathless chatter of a clear and present danger. Now, the challenge with space activities, they are so closely guarded at what's called not just top secret, but the special access program level,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, nobody's allowed to talk about it. But clearly something very significant, and the congressman earlier this year actually referred to it, but we clearly have a situation where they put nukes in orbit. Now, China has surpassed Russia in military capability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, the talking point by legacy media and the current administration, whoever is the president, I don't even know who that is right now, is that it's always Russia. No, I'm sorry. It's not even close. The spending is not even close.
Mm-hmm.
China is blowing. Russia is totally bogged down in the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
Their GDP is 1/30th. Of what the Chinese GDP is. And so now Russia, the inference earlier this year was Russia had put a nuke in orbit, which is a clear violation of the space treaty.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Russians have done it, I guarantee you the Chinese have done it. And this puts us at a clear and present mortal danger. If they can drop a nuke, which is in, you know, essentially 5 minutes or less, going to be hitting a U.S. target or exploding in the air, causing an EMP burst.
Now, Colonel Mills, wouldn't we, and I think you touched on this, like, wouldn't we know? I mean, anything nuclear, no matter how small of a reactor it may have or the core there's a signature, right? We'd be able to sense that from some of our own high-tech stuff, right? Or would we not?
Well, I mean, the exact truth on that is very highly classified. Mm-hmm. But I think as we learned from the balloon episode, and, you know, again, I'm no longer in government. I'm no longer read onto these programs. What we learned is with the balloon, our coverage is spotty at best. There is no such thing as a perfect surveillance system anyway. We go broke creating the perfect surveillance system. So this is the challenge. But what I'm also even concerned, though, is the behavior and the response of this would never be allowed. It would become a national crisis. We would be working 24/7 to build a defensive shield or counter it or put our own nukes in orbit. And yet all we're doing is clutching pearls and saying, don't talk about it. I mean, this is insanity. If they've put a nuke in orbit, the American people have a right to know, and it should be. China's barely been mentioned in this presidential election so far, barely. And a nuke in orbit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, the Democrats and Republicans from the Cold War would never allow this to happen. And if something did, it would be nobody would rest until we had done something to protect the American people and counter this mortal threat. Now everybody's saying, shh, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Mm. Colonel, in about the 90 seconds we have left, who do you think, or what would the outcome be, a Trump win tomorrow or whenever we would find out about it, and or a Kamala Harris win? Do you think Beijing and Moscow are rooting for one side or the other? In about the minute we have left, what do you think?
They are absolutely both rooting, and Russia is he's the junior partner of China. They are both rooting for Harris to win because they have been and will run circles around her. And they have been for the last 3 years, whoever has been president. They have been doing essentially whatever they wanted to do. And the Biden-Harris or the GS-15 in the White House Situation Room had done essentially nothing about it except finger wag. So, no, they absolutely would much rather have to deal with Biden, Harris, or that ilk, because they know they can do whatever they want to do and nothing's going to happen.
Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel John Mills, the guest. He, along with Ed Martin, have written War Against the Deep State. Colonel, thank you. Good to chat again. We'll certainly chat down the road after tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Got it, Paul. Thank you. Take care.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, there you go.